Hey there, everybody. It is June the 8th, 2011, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. As always, you can drop us an email at thisshowissogay@aol.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn what's going down with the show, and go to the Facebook. Type in This Show Is So Gay. Like us, we sure as heck like you. Exciting times here for This Show Is So Gay. We are broadcasting for the first time from WDTR. That's Dead Tree Radio here at Marlboro College in Marlboro, Vermont. Still doing a little bit of a patchwork job as we seek to rebuild WVEWLP, Brattleboro Community Radio, but thrilled to be hosted in a new studio. It's very exciting for the show. We have a ton of amazing guests from all across the country. We're calling California in a little bit. I got somebody here right in the building who we're going to talk to. Very exciting stuff. But first, let's get to some news. Big story this week. Big story all about LGBT youth. An analysis conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention concluded, not shockingly, we've been talking about this for years on this show, that gay youth are at increased risk not only for suicide, but also for 7 out of the 10 health dangers it tracks. Those are the health dangers that the CDC and prevention track. Quote, this is from Howell Weschler, director of the CDC's Division of Adolescent and School Health. He said, quote, this report should be a wake-up call. We are very concerned that these students face such dramatic disparities for so many different health risks. That's end quote. Here are some examples. Of straight students, this is just about cigarette smokers. Of straight students, the CDC found that 8% to 19% are cigarette smokers. The percentage for gay and lesbian students? Yeah, that would vary from 20 to 48%. So again, straight students, 8 to 19%. Gay students, 20 to 48%. And the story is much the same for violence, binge drinking, drug use, and even weight problems. So a lot of attention there. But it keeps going. Bisexual students are often at the highest risk. And we don't talk nearly enough on this show about the issues for the bisexual community. Binge drinking, for example, was a problem for 16% and 44% of straight students. And for gay and lesbian students, 17 to 44%. But for bisexual students, binge drinking was a problem for 33 to 63.3%. Up to 63.3% of bisexual students are experiencing problems with binge drinking. Truly, as the CDC says, if this is not a wake-up call, I don't know what else I can say on this show to say, hey, we actually need to do something to support gay and lesbian youth. What is it that you who are listening to this show right now, what are you doing to support LGBT youth? What are you doing? You got to go do something. You got to go to GLSEN.org. You got to get a safe schools kit and send it to your old high school. You must do something because these LGBT students are struggling enormously. They are struggling enormously. The CDC, according to their report, they attributed all of these stats to a lack of safe and supportive environments. It's as simple as that. So please, please go do something and share ideas of things that you've done. And I'll read them out on the air. I'll say, hey, this is Johnny, and this is what he did for LGBT youth. So this show is so gay at AOL.com. On the other side of the spectrum, some happier news, following here in nearby Connecticut, following the State House of Representatives, Connecticut Senate, they passed a bill last week protecting transgender people from all kinds of discrimination, which is so great. And Democratic Governor Danielle Malloy, he has promised to sign the legislation. The bill codifies protections already promised by the Connecticut Commission on Human Rights and Opportunities. Now, Republicans did not want this bill to pass, so this is what they came up with. When the state house debated the bill, Republicans voiced objections on the basis that sex offenders would use this law guaranteeing protections to get into women's restrooms. That was their grand argument, that protecting trans people, well, that's just going to enable sex offenders to get into women's bathrooms. They failed, the GOP, in both that argument and to exempt restrooms, locker rooms, and boarding houses from the law. So good news out of Connecticut. They are adding benefits for folks who identify as transgender. Very good thing. Now this, my friends, is without question my favorite story of the week. Comes from Virginia. Virginia Delegate Bob Marshall. Now, he was not happy. He saw that the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, which is a private bank, they were flying a rainbow flag. He did not like that, Virginia Delegate Bob Marshall. He did not like that. So he wrote them a letter asking them to take the flag down. But here's the thing. It wasn't enough for him to write a letter and say, hey, can you take this flag down? I don't like it. To augment his plea for them to remove the flag, he resorted to this very nuanced technique. It's very technical. It's hard. It might be hard for some folks to wrap your minds around. It's called lying. He just started lying. This is what he claimed. These are quotes from his letter. He wrote in his letter that, quote, homosexual behavior celebrated by your Richmond Federal Reserve Bank undermines the American economy, is a class 6 felony in Virginia. Is it? I don't think so. It shortens lives. It adds significantly to illness. It increases health costs. It promotes venereal disease. And it worsens the population imbalance related to the number of workers supporting the beneficiaries of America's Social Security and Medicare programs, end quote. It's good to throw in some federal programs there. It really increases the urgency. Not shockingly, he was pretty well condemned by Virginia, the Virginia LGBT community and ally community. From Equality Virginia, they said, quote, the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond should receive accolades for its decision to recognize and celebrate its GLBT employees, customers, and vendors during Pride Month. It's a private business and should be able to make its own personnel and corporate policy decisions without Bob Marshall's guidance or the Family Foundation's approval. Because, of course, the Family Foundation was involved. So if you are out and about, if you're out and about and you see a flag that you don't like, so I'm in New England. And apparently we're not supposed to fly a Yankees flag. We're supposed to fly a Red Sox flag because it's some sort of baseball of some sort. So if you see a Yankees flag and you live in New England and you're thinking, well, I want them to take that flag down, you should write them a letter. And you should use this new technique called lying and say things like, hey, supporting the Yankees, well, that's a class 6 felony. In Virginia, that's going to shorten lives. It's going to add significantly to illness, and somehow it's going to affect Social Security and Medicare. Sounds ridiculous. It is just as plausible as what Virginia Delegate Bob Marshall put out there about gay people. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, we are going to play a song. Now, this is really cool. I needed a new TV show, so I wandered over to an internet site that allows you to watch TV shows, and somehow I started watching Grey's Anatomy. Now, I resisted this. I resisted Grey's Anatomy for years because I am a very faithful ER fan. And as we know, Michelle Bonilla from ER, she was a paramedic on ER for years and years and years. She was on this show with So Gay a few months back. To watch Grey's Anatomy would be to cheat on Michelle Bonilla. Do we want to cheat on Michelle Bonilla? No, we do not. We do not like cheating on Michelle Bonilla, except that I started watching it and I was hooked within 18 minutes and now I'm cheating on Michelle Bonilla. So this song, I just fell in love with right away. It's on one of the first couple episodes of Grey's Anatomy. So I went down to the iTunes to go download the song because that's what you should do. You shouldn't download things illegally. You should purchase them on iTunes because that supports the artist. And iTunes said to me, hey, you've already purchased this song. Why would you want to purchase it again? Indeed, this song was already in my iTunes library. I backtracked and found out that this song that I'm about to play for you was a song that was requested by a This Show Is So Gay guest. Now, I don't always listen to the music because when the song's playing, I'm prepping the next segment. So I kind of take off my headphones and I prep. This was a song requested by Frank Anthony Polito, and I adore it. So I already owned it and didn't even know it. And now I've played it on repeat more times than I should probably admit to folks. Enjoy.
Your broken heart and soul. And what do you do with the leftover you? And how do you know when to let go? Where does the good go? Where does the good go? Look me in the eye and tell me you don't find me attractive. Look me in shore on your way down. Where does the good go? Where does the good go?
Folks, and we're back. Now, people know, faithful listeners to the show, if there's anywhere that I want to be right now, this week, this amazing week, it is traveling between San Francisco and LA on AIDS Life Cycle. Unfortunately, I was not able to make it out there this year, but I'm sure as heck going to bring you some news from the road here from the Gear and Tent team. Hi, Cheryl.
There.
Now, you are out there right this very second. Are you not on AIDS Life Cycle 10?
We are on AIDS Life Cycle 10. We're just leaving Paso Robles.
How is it going, and where are you heading to?
We are heading to Santa Maria right after we put some diesel in our truck.
Now, you are not driving and talking to me right now, are you?
I am, of course, not driving. Betty is driving.
Betty.
I'm a fabulous navigator.
And Betty doesn't need you right now, right? You can just talk to me.
Well, we're making a U-turn because we missed our exit, of course.
How is it going out there? Okay, Cheryl, for folks who don't know, I don't know how they couldn't, but for folks who don't know what AIDS Life Cycle is, what is it?
It is a 7-day ride from San Francisco to L.A., 545 miles, and the riders have to raise a minimum of $3,000 to participate. And it's a huge fundraiser for the San Francisco AIDS Foundation and the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center.
So our listeners then assume that you, Cheryl, are riding 500-plus miles. No, you're not. What are you doing then?
I am one of the roadies. We have 580 roadies this year. Betty, you get a green light. And we support the riders, doing everything from schlepping their luggage to feeding them breakfast, lunch, and dinner to cleaning up after them to putting out handy wipes for the porta-potties.
So
you name it, we do it.
So what I hear you saying is that being a roadie is just like a cakewalk, that the riders are doing all the work and the roadies are really just lounging.
We are just lounging. And we don't get paid for it either, though, which all the children in Bradley in their nice thank you notes pointed out to us as volunteers. We're not getting any money.
I love those thank you notes. I miss it tremendously. So I should say, in full disclosure, Cheryl, I don't know if you know this, I was actually on the Gear and Tent team last year.
I do vaguely recall you.
Has anyone noticed my absence?
Every day at the morning meeting, everybody's like, where's Ken? Where's Ken? Did we lose him again?
Those are lies, but I'll take them. So now what shenanigans has the Gear and Tent team been up to? So for folks who don't know, the Gear and Tent team is a group of people who really haul all of the bags. Now, every single rider is told to stick to 50 pounds and under, and they all do that, right, Cheryl?
Oh, yeah. 50 to 100. It's flexible.
So you guys load everything. You unload it. Now, what shenanigans have you all been up to?
Everybody's been relatively well-behaved so far, but we are, 2 days away from our Jerry Springer day.
Oh, my.
So we have a Walmart stop planned today to stock up.
I do believe that was Appalachian Appreciation Day.
Also known as, yes.
Also known as. Now, what is today's theme?
Today was Western.
Nice.
So we had some fine saloon keepers and, pretty chorus girls and a lot of cowboys and cowgirls.
And what's tomorrow?
Red Dress Day, of course.
Oh, it's Red Dress Day. You know, I got to be honest with you, Cheryl. There's almost this part of me, I don't even want to talk to you because it's so difficult for me not to be out there. Because I said last year, when I did it my first year and was on food service, I committed to doing it the next year. And then last year on Gear Intent, I committed to doing it for life. And then here I am the next year, I'm sitting in Vermont on a radio and I'm not out there. So I miss you all tremendously.
We miss you too.
Cheryl, why do you do AIDS Life Cycle?
The community, honestly. I've met so many. I did my first one not knowing what to expect, and I met so many amazing people. Next driver, Betty. The community brings me back.
Yeah.
And every year I'm like, I don't know if I can commit a whole week to it, and then by the end of the week I'm like, oh, I'm totally signed up. I'm ready to go. I actually signed up yesterday for next year.
Nice. All right, I got to get on that. I got to sign up right away, and I'm committed to it, and I will be there.
Yay.
Now, ask Betty why she does AIDS Life Cycle.
Betty, Ken wants to know why you do AIDS Life Cycle.
I do it because my son is HIV positive, and I feel like I'm contributing in the best way I know how.
There you go. There you go. And what gear truck are you guys in?
We are currently driving the R truck, which is actually just full of bike boxes because we had a little incident one of the other trucks.
Okay.
Put incorrect gasoline in.
Oh.
And we have spent the morning in Paso having our truck pumped, and we're now going to fill it with diesel fuel as opposed to unleaded, which apparently these things don't take. Who knew?
So what we've just learned is that you could really mess up those trucks.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to have some other Gear Intent roadies coming on the show in a little bit. But you should know,
yay,
Cheryl, you were first.
Yay.
You guys.
Oh, exciting. It pays to be the last one out of camp sometimes.
You guys, be safe out there. I'm so enormously proud of you. Proud of you, proud of Betty, proud of everybody participating. I think that when you're on the ride, you can kind of be proud of each other, but I'm definitely noticing now that I'm all the way across on the other side of the country, I just am so proud of you all. So I thank you for what you're doing for the whole community.
Thank you, thank you. And we'll mail you one of the letters from Bradley.
Yay!
You have a little piece of us.
I love it. I love it. Cheryl, right. Thank you so much. All my best to Betty, and you guys drive safely.
Thank you, Will. Bye, Ken.
Bye. All right, everybody, that was Cheryl from the Gear Intent team. The Gear Intent team working oh so hard. And now, for a completely different perspective, one that's taken a step back and looking at this ride in a whole different way, Nathan Mansky, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
You know, technically, Nathan, technically, in the most technical sense, you're our first four-time guest. It's very
wow, that's quite an honor. Do I get a medal or anything for that, or a cookie or a trophy?
No, you get to be on for the fourth time. That's about it, Nathan. It's its own reward. Nathan Mansky is the creator, the editor of I'mFromDriftwood.com, and somehow has ended up on AIDS Life Cycle 10. What are you doing there?
I'm doing what I like to think that I do best, which is collecting stories from people from all over the world. The life cycle has what they call a press corps, and it's a really, really great idea. They went and found, I think there's eight of us, maybe nine of us, different bloggers and documentarians and photojournalists and photographers and reporters and storytellers. And they're having all of us travel with the riders and the roadies and just documenting the trip from from the inside, and you know, so we're embedded in the actual bike ride. So we get all these first person and up close and personal pictures and stories, and so it's great. So we're doing what we do, and we're collecting first person stories from all sorts of people, and we're posting the stories. We have a great partnership with tollroad.com. We're posting the daily stories on there. So, yeah, it's great. And today marked the halfway point. So we're halfway done with the cycle, with a ride.
They lift those bikes above their head.
They do. They do.
Now, had you participated in AIDS Life Cycle before?
No, I've never been a part of it. Andrew Oldershaw, who's kind of handling, he's kind of the dad or uncle, I guess. And he's kind of our babysitter, depending on how we're behaving that day. He contacted me and asked if I would be interested in joining them. And before that, I had heard a little bit about the life cycle, but not a whole lot. So he filled me in, and it sounded really great. So this is, I'm a life cycle virgin. Yeah, and it really has just been, we're only halfway there, and it already has been one of the most memorable events of my life. Just the energy and the community and the support. Every day is just an emotional roller coaster, just from logistical reasons and stories we hear and collect, and it's just seeing so many people. I mean, there's over 3,000 people, and seeing all of us working together and helping each other out, and it really is just an amazing community experience.
And you're sleeping on the grid, I would hope.
I am. Yeah. We're not. This isn't the princess tour. We're out. This morning we woke up and we were all started asking, like, did you wake up and there are these weird bug worm looking things, but they have little spikes sticking out of their butts and these really scary half worm, half beetle things. So. Yeah, we're getting the whole experience. I've had a total of 2 showers in the past 4 or 5 days whenever we started.
Nice.
So, yeah, we're getting dirty and getting that dirt under our fingernails.
I will tell you, tomorrow night's campsite is my favorite of all the campsites. Wait till tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, don't ruin anything for me. I do know tomorrow is Red Dress Day, where everyone dresses. And I didn't bring a dress, unfortunately, but I did bring a red shirt, so
that it works.
I'll be wearing
except
red.
Nathan, that's what I did last year, and I got yelled at by my entire Gear and Tent team.
I'm sure I'll get yelled at for not being a team player, for not being a dress player. But you know, it's all right. Maybe I'll wrap my shirt around my waist and have a red skirt.
Just belt it up, and you're set. Now, tell us, give me a story that's really hit you that you've collected.
That's really easy. Just yesterday, we had a very. I'm running across the street and I'm trying to stay out of biker's way.
Please, yes. Don't get run down.
Yesterday, we were just a rest stop number 3. We went there to get a story from the oldest participant in life cycle. She is a roadie, and she was helping with all the food, and so that's why we went to rest stop 3. But while we were there, we ran into somebody whose video story we got the day before, and he told that he's HIV positive, he's 23, and he told us that being on the ride and being around all the support in the community and having so much time by himself riding on the bike, you know, and then getting to a rest stop or lunch or camp and being surrounded by all the support groups, or not support groups, just the community, he was inspired to call his mom and tell her about his HIV status. And, you know, we asked if we could film that. And he was, you know, he encouraged us to do that. So, you know, we weren't being obnoxious press. He wanted that to be documented. So just at a rest stop, you know, off the highway in California, we filmed him calling his mom and having that first conversation with her about being HIV positive, and it was just an incredibly moving and emotional experience. Her response was as good as it can be. She wished that she had known earlier, so she could, you know, help him get through it and support him. So it was a really emotional and unexpected story that we got that yesterday afternoon. So we're editing that right now, actually. So that'll be up online on Toll Road tomorrow morning.
Wow. How were you not just having a complete breakdown during that?
I mean, just part of me was just in shock. I mean, here is, you know, he got off the phone and I just kept asking him, I was like, what do you feel right now? Like the feeling immediately after, I didn't know if it would be relief, like a lot of weight was off his shoulders, or sadness. And a lot of it depended on her reaction, I'm sure. And her reaction, thankfully, was good. But yeah, I was just, I guess, a little shell shock. I was just shocked that I was witnessing that. And you know, I mean, there were tears, and also, you know, you're surrounded by thousands of people who are all here for each other. So that, I think, makes everything a little easier. But also, I think it makes everyone feel more comfortable to do stuff like he did, you know. And that's, I think, one of the side effects of this whole ride is everyone feels so like part of a family and open up and or opens up and can talk about stuff like this. So it's definitely a moving experience for sure.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I was just telling Cheryl from the Gear and Tent crew, I almost don't even want to talk about the ride because it's so difficult just not being out there this year because it is such an incredible experience and you can talk about it, but to talk about it, to read about it online and to experience it are just so different. So different.
Yeah, and I've actually, even the story I just told you, it's so hard to really explain or convey the feelings and the emotions and, you know, the words like, it's such a great community and family and support. It's like, those are just words, and I wish I could create new words and new definitions of how it really feels being surrounded by all these people. And, it, you know, words, I know it's a common phrase, but words can't describe the feeling of what it's like.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, this is my little piece of advice, or I guess it's more of a warning. It's difficult. I will tell you, the day after the ride ends is really difficult. It's just because, wait, where are all the people going? And don't we stay together? And how do we create this little community? How do you take this with you and spread it around to the other 51 weeks of the year? So you got to, you just take it and run with it.
Or bike with it.
Now, which gear truck are you on?
We actually, the press corps, we have three, you know, I said earlier, we're not princesses, but we have three SUVs just because we have to get places fast and we have to be able to be nimble and you know, get up ahead of people when they arrive. And so we're in our separate little vehicles.
Well,
so
I will tell you, even though your stuff is not on a gear truck, I highly recommend that you be near the gear trucks. Not tomorrow, but the following day for Appalachian Appreciation Day.
Oh, wow.
It is. It's truly something to behold. Just putting that out there. Well, this is great. So you're going to bring back all these stories. You're going to put them all out there. And I love that you're adding just a whole different dimension to this ride. And by the way, on a personal note, I'm thrilled that you're out there experiencing this.
I agree with everything you just said. This is such an incredible experience for me personally, but even unselfishly, I'm happy that I can get these stories and share them with people. You know, one thing they said about it is, or one reason they wanted the press corps is because, you know, the life cycle passes through these towns and cities and they create like a 2 to 5 minute piece about it, but you can't really get deep down inside all these stories and what it really means in that short amount of time. So I'm happy and honored to be a part of the people who can really, you know, spend time with all the riders and roadies and really get their stories out there. So,
and are these going up on I'm From Driftwood as well?
Yes, they are. They're on Toll Road and I'm From Driftwood. For Toll Road, we're doing daily exclusive videos, but we're collecting more than just 5 or 6. So all the rest will be on fromdriftwood.com.
Fantastic. Thrilled that you're experiencing this. I can't wait to see you and hear all these stories. And you're going to come out with me there next year, right? You're going to participate next year.
I can't imagine me not doing this again.
Exactly.
In any sort of capacity. I really don't know how I wouldn't be here again next year.
Yeah. No, from 1 year to the next, you're like, I'm definitely going to do it next year. And then the second year you do it, you say, I'm doing this for the rest of my life, which I said last year. And unfortunately, I seem to be here in Vermont because of a conflict, but I cannot wait to get out there next year.
Yep. I'm already looking forward to it.
Awesome. Thank you, as always, Nathan Mansky, for doing what you do. And folks, troll on over to imfromdriftwood.com and check these things out, and over on Toll Road as well. Nathan, enjoy every single second of the rest of the ride. Go over to food services during dinner. Just yell out Amy and Sarah and tell them that Ken says hi.
All right, I'll do that.
All right, thank you so much, Nathan. Keep doing it.
All right, I will.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye. Broadcasting from the basement of, what's the name of this building?
Gander World Studies.
And obviously I am joined by a guest, because that was not my voice. And guest, you have an office down here in this building, do you not?
I do, with a pink couch.
Nice. It's very distinctive. I just was sitting on that couch. It's lovely.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
Cute, right?
I am joined in the studio right now by the creator and the star and the producer and the choreographer of the Deshae Show, Deshae Peacock. Welcome to the show, Is So Gay.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
For folks who do not know what the Deshae Show is, what is the Deshae Show?
It's a show about, and it's an inspirational, hopefully, show that's mm-hmm. about creative people doing what they love.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you are a creative person who is doing what you love.
I am. So, can I tell the story?
Oh, please.
Okay. So, I'm a career counselor, but I also, like, my whole life I'm always questioning, like, what should I do with my life? What's my higher purpose? I've had a million different jobs. I've had 40 different jobs. And within that process, I'm always trying to figure out, you know, what am I supposed to be doing? And so, you know, I started cataloging all the things that I love, which is, like, fashion and art and interiors and design and all these creative things, right? But I've never worked in those fields before. I've dabbled in them. And then somebody, you know, randomly said to me at a party, like, you know, Deshae, you should have your own show, like, you know, with your name, like, Deshae, the Deshae Show.
Where you come down a slide at the beginning. I can see that. With a parasol. With a parasol.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we laughed and I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. And then I love Oprah. Do you like Oprah?
Yes.
Who doesn't? If you don't like Oprah, then you are bad.
This
news.
Show is so gay. They're not listening to this show if they don't like Oprah, Deshae. Give me a break. Your audience.
If you love Oprah, then you know that she's amazing. And she had a contest to have your own TV show. And I was like, oh, my God, I have to apply for this. And so I sent in this video along with 16,000 other people to have my own show on her new network.
Nice. Own.
Yeah, own. And I didn't get it, but that was okay because what I found out was, like, it was really fun making that little video. And I started noticing, like, I was like, oh, this would be so cool. So then I just decided to do it anyway.
See, I don't know. I don't know about video. I am content to sit here in my pajamas. I'm not in my pajamas, but sometimes I do the show in my pajamas. To have to think not only about talking to people, yeah. but also the production of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't enjoy that.
Well, see, I don't know anything about it, so I'm really kind of naive, so I'm just jumping into it. And, you know, it's my motto is, like, I'm just doing this for 1 year to, like, kind of prove this theory that I have, that if you do what you love, like, you can succeed, no matter what. If you really, 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 really love what you're doing. So I'm making sure that I'm just having fun and not getting stressed about
it. And you are using your voice. That's the whole point of this show, are people using their voice. That's the most important thing. And who's your next guest? So you're on episode what?
So I'm on episode 3.
Okay.
And I'm really excited because episode 3 is Marshall Giroux.
Who is that?
And you should know who he is because he is a very, very good looking gay man.
Oh, okay.
So
I make a point of knowing all of those people.
So you and all of your guests should check him out on Facebook because he's very beautiful.
Okay.
And yeah, and
he's talented too.
I discovered that he was gay on my show. I didn't realize that. So I interviewed him on my front porch. And yeah, he told me this really interesting story about how he came out. And yes, so about him, he is a dancer
nice.
And a choreographer.
Fantastic.
And a teacher. And he lived in Brattleboro. And he taught at Luminen Studio. And but now he is with Cirque du Soleil.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not small potatoes.
That's not small
That's
potatoes.
That's like major circus people.
It's major, yeah, major circus people. So he's a dancer and a circus performer and just does all kinds of cool stuff.
And he has a very interesting coming out story, right? That I don't want you to tell because I want people okay. to tune in to the Dashe Show.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You should tune into the Dashe Show and watch episode 3 with Marshall Giroux and find out about his story and how, you know, it's a good story. And every time I interview somebody, I really learn from them. Mm-hmm. And what I learned from him.
Me too. I like that part.
Yeah. Well, when you're interviewing somebody about what they love, like, you're basically getting a lesson in how to do it yourself.
Right.
You know? And so what I learned from him was that, you know, you can be at the bottom of the barrel. Like, you can be in so much pain and agony, but, you know, that you can control your thoughts and you can really turn them around by what you focus on. And, you know, he read a couple of books, and I don't know the names of them, but they're called, I do know the name, Conversation with God and the Power of Now.
Wow.
And basically, I think it's about, you know, focusing on positive thoughts and being positives and sharing love. And he turned that around from a very deep and dark place in his life mm-hmm. to, you know, expressing himself and completely enjoying his life. And now he's, you know, affecting lots of people through his performances and
Cirque du Soleil.
And the theme of the show that he's going to be in, it's in Las Vegas. And the theme is love. So
that's
perfect.
Just it. It's love.
Yeah, it's perfect because that's what I feel like that's what he's about.
And now we're going to have Marshall on the show after
you
they
should.
Watch him on your show.
Thank you.
Now, when is that episode out already?
No, it's being edited. So it'll be hopefully like June 15th ish.
Gosh, you have a whole different editing procedure than I have to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it takes us like, I have a team of like two. So my editor's editing, and when she's done, it's ready.
I want a team. I don't have a team, but that's okay. And yeah. And when it comes out, where can folks find?
People can watch it. You can find it on Dashe Show on Facebook.
Okay.
That's the easiest thing. Or the thedashe.show.blogspot.com.
And we'll link to it. We'll link to it off of our
yeah.
site.
And you can also watch episode 1 and episode 2. They're very short. They're like 10 minutes. Suzanne Kingsbury was the first one. She's a great author.
Celebrated author. Yeah.
And she has a great story.
Yeah.
And then the second one's Daniel Korngoth,
uh-huh.
who's a Marlboro alum and artist, Renaissance man.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what did you learn from the two of them?
Wow. What did I learn from the two of them? Well, let me see. I think it's all kind of the same message. It's like you just kind of jump in. Like a line that goes through my head that actually Marshall said was, it's our duty to do what we love. So if I had to like give a line to each person, let me see if I can. Okay, so Marshall, I learned like, it's your duty. it's not just a selfish thing to do what you love. It's really actually your duty. It's like what you've been put on the earth to do. And you know that it's your duty because you feel it, right? And then let's see. Suzanne, she said, you just throw it out there, like whatever you want. You throw it out there to the universe and you don't worry. She said, never worry. Just
She's
do it.
About that. She's very calm.
She's very calm. But you know what? I trust her. Like, I believe her. I believe her story because she had a job. She quit her job. And, you know, she went to Mississippi and she worked as a waitress and she wrote for a year. And then she, you know, sold this book and made lots of money.
Wow.
You know?
How much money is the DeShay Show making for you right now?
So much. I can't tell you because you'll be jealous.
That's not true. All right. We have to talk about some gay news. Can we talk about some gay news?
Okay.
Because yes. I picked some stories that I thought that you would have some comments on.
Okay. Let's
now,
hope I do.
I'm going to out you right now. You are a mom.
Yes, I am.
To, what is she, 13 now, 14?
I am not that old. Shut up.
How old is she at this point?
She's 4 and a half.
She's 4. Is she not the cutest thing you've ever seen?
She's the cutest thing I've ever seen. And I'm the mom, but yeah. She's freaking cute.
We should back up a step.
Okay.
Folks are going to see your name on here, and they're going to say, that's not someone's actual name, DeShay Peacock. So for folks who are saying, that's not this person's given name.
Yeah, it is.
There are other peacocks out there. There's a Mr. and Mrs. Peacock?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of peacocks out there.
Just checking.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are going to say, that's a drag name.
Oh, that's cool.
They're
going to
say that's the name of a drag queen.
Yeah, that would be a good one, but don't take it because it's mine.
Because if you see some sort of drag review that says the DeShay Peacock Show, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah, no.
No,
okay. Mm-mm, don't
so
steal it.
So you are a mom.
Yeah.
Have you taken young Mrs. Isla to Disney?
Disney what? Disney World?
Disney World.
No, I have not.
Would she want to go to such a thing?
She actually would because she loves princesses and fairies and dress up and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But I would probably not enjoy it very much.
No.
No.
Well, one story that just came out this week, the Florida Family Association, because people just, what I learn every week on the show is that apparently everyone has a ton of money to spend on things that I don't care about. That's what I learned. So the Florida Family Association, they spent $7,000.
Mm-hmm.
Which would help the DeShay Show, $7,000.
That would. Yeah. That would help.
That's right.
They should give it to us.
Yeah. We'll split it. The show is so gay and the DeShay Show.
Yeah.
Split.
The show is so gay DeShay.
$5,000 for me and you can get two. But so they spent $7,000 to have an aircraft fly near Disney World on Friday and Saturday with a banner that warned visitors that it was gay day. So they have gay day at Disney where they say it's particularly a nice day for gay couples to come.
Uh-huh.
And I think they all wear red. I've never been. Here it says, gay day is a 6-day celebration of gay and lesbian pride held in Orlando, Florida, with Saturday spent at Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom. The Florida Family Association claimed that the event offends thousands of unsuspecting families with same-sex revelry.
It's a gay ambush at Disney World.
It is. Apparently it is. And that Disney should require special events like Gay Day to be held after normal operating hours.
Yeah, like a midnight.
Yeah, that's when they, and on the reservation, because that's how we treat people. And they said this, the group said, quote, many Gay Day patrons wore shirts that promoted homosexuality, kissed, hugged, and groped in very public places, and dressed in drag, all to the curiosity of tens of thousands of children. Gay Day president Chris Alexander Manley, he told CNN, quote, the economy is improving because of what Gay Days brings to it. Our crowd behaves better than most convention crowds. So come on out and see what it's really about. Now, Isla has gay people in her life as a 4.5-year-old.
Yeah, Isla loves gay men.
She does. Isla loves gay men.
Yeah.
And so she's never said, why is that guy with that guy?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's just been normalized for her.
I guess so. You know, I mean, I think that kids are so innocent. Like, she's never asked about somebody's color of their skin or why somebody, you know, my best friend Craig is gay.
Craig.
And he comes to visit us all the time. And he comes with his friend Normal. And she never, you know, she calls him Normal instead of Normal. But, you know, she just loves him because he's, you know, Craig's friend. And
yeah.
And there's no distinguishing things. And she goes to Neighborhood Schoolhouse, which is, you know, like a really cute, sweet
kind of
progressive school in town. And, you know, she came home the other day and she was like, oh, so-and-so's got two mommies.
This just happened.
Yeah.
And what did you say?
I was like, yeah, that's cool. two mommies. Wow. You know?
And then she said, I want two mommies. Get that guy out of here. Because doesn't she like Craig more than her father? I've heard that.
Well, you need to be quiet right now.
I've heard that. I saw it on the Deshae show. And that's just on there. And indeed, if folks were to watch the Deshae show, which they will, they would see her in the opening.
Yeah. Because this is another thing, if there are any parents out there, I think that it's really cool when, you know, like you have a deep desire for something that you love to do. Like, you don't have to say, well, I can't do this because there's all these excuses, and one of them could be because I have a small child. So I just try to incorporate her into everything. So she's in the intro, and sometimes she's there when I'm filming, and she knows. I mean, she's like, the Deshae show.
She says that, right? She is the tagline.
She actually does say
Look
it. Yeah.
That. Wait, I think I have one more news story for you, because I have another child news story. But I think you pretty much covered it, because it's all about how do you talk to your children about different identities. And one of the stories that came out, you are a Southerner, are you not?
I am.
Yes. Kentucky.
No.
Georgia.
Wrong again. Alabama. It starts with an A, and it's not Alabama. That's offensive.
Arkansas. Is it really? Is that a thing?
Go Razorbacks.
I don't know what that means.
So, Blue pig suey.
Yeah, I kind of know what that means. So one place in Gwinnett County, Georgia, the public school system there, they've installed an internet filter that blocks students' access to some sites with LGBT content. They do not want the students there to see anything gay, and the American Civil Liberties Union of Georgia, they are objecting. The Georgia ACLU, they sent a letter to school superintendent J. Alvin Wilbanks 2 weeks ago informing him that such blocking was illegal, because, you know, it's illegal, which violates both the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution and the Federal Equal Access Act. And this was the quote from the ACLU. If you continue to censor these websites, you could be subject to legal liability and the expense of litigation. And the ACLU gets involved in all these different cases. But this is an important one, because if they say, oh, I mean, they basically are treating any sites with gay content as if they are porn. This is an opportunity for it to be even more normalized in Georgia, in this, it looks like, pretty conservative county, where there perhaps, aren't as many out gay people. Except, I will say this, one of the places that they blocked is really hurting the Brookwood High School Gay Straight Alliance, which is trying to put together different programs, and now they can't access any of the content, and that's not good.
Wow, that's not good. Well, I mean, I just think that people have to be really careful, because, you know, is this high school?
This high school, yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about high school and you think about bullying and you think about the message they're getting, you know, like, you just have to be careful, because, you know, if you're saying that this is wrong, and then, you know, how does that gay kid feel, you know?
Exactly.
And then all those kids who think it's okay to, you know, harass that person, or worse.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's the message you're getting from the top, that's not good.
Now, we should hit your day job for a second right now and tie this in, because what is your day job?
Well, I'm the director of career development at Marlboro College.
Look at that. How cool is your supervisor?
He's okay.
Yeah,
he doesn't really bring me sweets. But besides that, he's
except
pretty
I put
nice.
You on my radio show, so that's something.
That's a big
so
sweet.
That's something.
That's sweet.
So one question, this is actually really funny. A few years ago, I was asked to present at a conference about whether or not you should come out during the interview process or when you're new to a job. And so I created this really long title that said, the name of the presentation was, "Nice to meet you, I'm gay, colon, things to think about before you come out during an interview or as a new professional." And they didn't tell me there was a word limit on the titles. So the conference brochure just said, you know, there was thousands of people at this conference. It said, "Nice to meet you, I'm gay, Ken Schneck, Marlboro College." Okay, it was a little bit more involved than just saying, it's like I was just standing outside the door, just constantly saying, "Oh, nice to meet you, I'm gay, come on in, we'll just talk about that." Would you advise someone to come out during their job interview?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't advise that. I think that that's part of who you are. That's like, you know, this is who you are. And I don't think it's necessary to say that in an interview. I think it would be really kind of awkward and strange. You know, I mean, What do you think?
I think that people, I agree. I don't think that it should come up during an interview. And certainly if you're asked, that's illegal and you shouldn't be asked. Mm-hmm. I do think that people should be doing their research on these organizations before. Mm-hmm. And if, because you can find stuff, you can go to the Human Rights Campaign website. You can go to the Gay and Lesbian Task Force has information on this. Out at Work is a great organization. You can Google them and look, hey, if this is a company, if this is an establishment that doesn't have a very good track record dealing with LGBT employees, hey, maybe this isn't a place you want to work.
I totally agree with that. I think you should do your research. I mean, it's like this college. You know, you can browse through the website. I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff on, you know, LGBT stuff. You know, and I think that you can probably get an idea of the place you're working at probably just by browsing their website or those, you know, those sites that you listed too. I think that, you know, why go somewhere and work where you won't be appreciated or, you know,
or uncomfortable.
Or uncomfortable.
Because, yes, you keep your personal and your professional life separate, but when you have the staff picnic and everyone's bringing their partners and you're like, oh, what should I do? And you're agonizing over the staff picnic or the holiday party.
Right.
That's problematic. I remember Becca was at the, when we first started doing this show, had come from, she was working at a different organization that I think she had a picture on her desk or something like that, and it didn't go very well. People were making comments and whatnot. So it's important to do your research. Mm-hmm. And that stuff is out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
That stuff is out there. All right. Well, that, you know, that's as quick as these interviews are. It brings us to the end of this week's episode of This Show Is So Gay.
Really?
So tell everyone one more time, where can they learn more about The Deshae Show?
Okay. So you can find The Deshae Show on Facebook and make sure and like it. And there's my blog and website, thedeshaeshow.blogspot.com. You should go there and you should watch episode 1, 2, and 3 coming soon.
Three coming soon. Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps it up for this week's episode of This Show Is So Gay. As always, drop us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. If you have guest ideas, we have a number of amazing guests coming up, and they almost all came from people writing in saying, hey, I want this person on your show. So drop us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. Every single email, of course, gets answered. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com and look up. Hey, there are guests coming up that are very, very exciting. I'll actually tell you, even right this very second, next week, we have Dr. Frankie Bashan, who is a professional matchmaker and relationship expert. That's on June 16th. On June 23rd, filmmaker Susie Graff is going to be on the show, and she's got a pretty darn cool film that's making the tour right now. And just booked yesterday, on June 30th, we will have Mr. Gay USA, Mr. Gay USA, Michael Holtz. And in the picture that I have on the website on the show, sogay.com, is one of the only pictures with a shirt that I was able to find of him. And I didn't have to, you know, put that, but it was nice to put that. And when you're on the Facebook, right after you click like on the Deshae Show, and that's D-E-S-H-A.
Yeah, thanks.
In case people get confused.
And that's peacock like the bird.
Is that? Oh, I didn't even put those two things together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kidding. after you like the Deshae Show, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, and it's a partnership.
It's a partnership.
I have to make sure that our site, our page, likes your page.
Yeah,
we
you
can
do.
Do that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you how to do that after the show.
Okay.
Will you do the closing tagline with me?
Yeah, what is it?
All you have to do, the only key phrase that you need to know is so gay. And you'll know when it happens.
Okay.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for this week, folks. Get out there. Go do some amazing things. Go research a company before you go work there. Go participate. Please, please participate in AIDS Life Cycle in any way that you can. The way that I recommend, sure, you can give money, and all that money goes to the San Francisco AIDS Foundation and the LA Gay and Lesbian Center, and they need funds. They desperately need funds out there in California. But what I would recommend is that you actually make the commitment to go out to California in 2012 and work the San Francisco to LA Gay and work the San. this is why I edit later. Go out to California and work AIDS Life Cycle 11 next June 2012. It is a life-changing experience, as you heard from our friends out in California who are there right now. So go do all of those things. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be
so gay?
They say. It's all right. They say it's all right. Say it's all right. Have a good time. 'Cause 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Now we're gonna move it slow. Oh, when the lights are low. 'Cause when you move it slow, it feels like more. 'Cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Now listen to the beat and kind of tap your feet. 'Cause you got a soul, everybody knows that it's alright. Whoa, it's alright. When you wake up early in the morning feeling sad like so many of us do, have a little song, make life your goal, and surely something's gotta come to you. You gotta say it's all right. They say it's all right. Say it's all right. Have a good time, 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Everybody clap your hands. Give a sad shake. 'Cause you got soul, everybody knows that it's alright. Whoa, it's alright. Someday find me a woman who will love and treat me real nice. When my love's got a load, my love will hold from morning to noon and in the night. She's got to say, and she's got to say that it's all right. They say it's all right. Say it's all right. Have a good time, 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Everybody clap your hands. Give yourself a chance. 'Cause you got soul, and everybody knows that it's alright. Whoa, it's alright. You got soul, everybody knows that it's alright.